Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg. This episode centers around the latest signing for Fulham, along with a few players that have recently left the club. We're also going to be talking about, at the end of the show, our thoughts about the youngsters actually training with the team right now in Ireland. We'll be ending the show talking about that. But before we do anything, because we do have a good amount to get through in this show, I have to bring on my co-host back to Cottage Talk, Mr. Mike Gregg. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Doing well. Firstly, I'd like to wish you happy birthday for today.
Thank you very much, Mike. I turned 50 today. I appreciate that. And you'll be coming over to my neck of the woods. You won't be quite 50 there, but I'll have the opportunity to wish you a happy 50th when you come over stateside.
Well, yeah, I do share my birthday with Thanksgiving this year, so it will be a good day. But, yeah, I mean, it's good to speak to you. It's been a week, hasn't it? And I'd like to say a lot has happened, but probably not as much as we wanted, but we'll touch on that as the show goes on.
Absolutely. In fact, you and I talked off air. We will end our thoughts on how we feel a week later, because we talked about that. How would we feel? Talk to us in a week. Basically, we said next Wednesday, well, it's Tuesday, so we'll end the show talking about how we feel about the additions and the subtractions at the very end. We'll obviously be sharing our thoughts individually, but overall, we'll share our thoughts how we feel a week later at the very end. But, Mike, let's start here. Let's start with the signing. This happened on Friday. And let's start overall, because we're going to break this down a few different ways. I'm going to read some excerpts from a couple of articles with you to get your thoughts on that. But let's just overall get your thoughts on the signing of 27-year-old left-winger Floyd Ayite. And like we mentioned, you and I talked about before, we're just going to call him Floyd, from Bastia in France. What are your thoughts about this signing, just in general terms, and then we'll break it down in more detail in a little bit?
Well, firstly, I'm sure we're all happy that we've actually signed a player we didn't know, you know, who hadn't been on loan, who hadn't been with us before. I think it'd been about a week we'd been linked with him, and there are a couple of other championship clubs. I believe Forest certainly were one who were interested. And to finally get a sign-in with the old undisclosed fee again. So, again, you know, no ideas how much he's actually cost. You know, maybe $1.5 million, somewhere around there. But, you know, it's a position we've needed. We've said that, you know, we need wide players with pace. And that's what he seems to be, whether he's a left winger, you know, or can play both sides, or even as a forward, remains to be seen. But, you know, initially what we all do, don't we? We go on the relevant sites, look at his record. He's had a few loans, hasn't scored enough goals to be called a striker, really. But, pleased we finally brought someone in. And from everything we've read, which we'll go through, and, you know, a couple of videos, he looks useful. But as we all know, it's not until he actually puts on the white shirt and plays for us will we see if he's any good for us.
I totally agree there, Mike. You know, I was talking to you off air. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos of Kostas Mitroglou and other players as well and got excited. And until they actually play for Fulham, can we fully start the judging process, I guess you could say. But based on what I'm about to share and what I've watched, it's encouraging. And I'm going to start here. I am going to read an excerpt from an article. But before I do that, I'm just going to share some basic information from WhoScored.com. And it just gives you characteristics of Floyd and also his style of play. Let's start with his strengths. This is according to WhoScored.com. It just says one strength. It has long shots, weaknesses, aerial duels, and finishing. Ayite style play, according to WhoScored.com, likes to cut inside, gets fouled often, likes to dribble, likes to shoot from distance, commits fouls often. So that's just a little bit from WhoScored.com. But now I'm going to read this very interesting article, Mike, from French Football Weekly. This actually started the process of me getting a little bit excited about this player, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So I'm just going to read a couple parts from it, and then get your feedback on it. Again, this is from an article from French Football Weekly. Ayite can play all across the front three, and given Bastia's approach, has experience in several other attacking roles, perhaps best suited to being a winger, He's also well used to playing centrally, which may serve him well if his explosive pace starts to wane. His who scored profile might rightly say, quote, likes to shoot from distance, but they are a little harsh on his finishing. And he does have a habit of scoring key goals in tight situations. Predominantly right-footed, he can also score with his left, although there aren't a lot of headers on his record. Playing it on the deck or over the top but to feet seems the best approach for setting him up, and he can also set up teammates as his assist record shows. Then later on in the article, I'm just going to end with telling you something else that this article shares. In IET, you are buying a player willing and able to play in multiple positions who's used to working with limited opportunity but making it count. He may not be a world beater, but he has been a solid performer for teams that finished 11th, 12th, and 10th in Ligue 1 in the past three seasons and seems well set to deal with a physical game, if only from training with his Bastia teammates. Given his longevity, it's easy to forget that he's still only 27 and so more than capable of doing a job for a couple of seasons and has experience of a promotion push. With Fulham looking to improve on an underwhelming 20th place last season, this could be a very good piece of business. Okay, Mike, so what are your thoughts about what I just shared from this article from French Football Weekly?
Well, I mean, everything you read and see about him seems to fit what we expect Jurcanovic to want to play, which is, you know, pacey, probably three men up top, or at least, you know, two wide men. And, you know, the fact that he can play in a couple of positions as well helps. And but for me, it's the pace side. And, you know, that's what we need. We, you know, every player we're linked with at the moment, I would hope he has pace, because, you know, it's something we've been lacking for years. And, you know, there were comments about Berbatov yesterday, and, you know, as good a player he is, that he's not going to help us in that sense of the word. So, no, I'm excited by what I've read and seen by him. And, yeah, I think exactly what we need. And, you know, Taka never gave us that sort of cutting in and finishing or the assists. And, you know, League One, whatever you think about it, in France, is still a difficult place to play. And he's got some good stats against him. I know stats can be seen as a bad word by some people, but, you know, he certainly delivers in, you know, the useful goals and assists for his teammates. So, yeah, exactly what we need. If we can get another one to play on the opposite side, I'll be a lot happier. But, yeah, I mean, it's as it says, he's a solid performer. And they mentioned, you know, he possibly would have been okay in the Premier League as well. So to get him in the Championship, and at 27, we've given him a three-year contract with another option. They've obviously got faith in him, and I'm sure he's not going to be too expensive on the wages side. But he has a good reputation, and I think it's a bit of a coup, really, considering, you know, where we finished.
Mike, I totally agree. That's why when I started learning more about this player, you know, I did watch the YouTube videos. That was nice, and that did get me a little excited. But when I started reading and learning more about him, I started to really sense that maybe we pulled one off here. Maybe we got someone that was potentially Premier League ready. And as I'm going to read in a little bit, this other article, I think you're going to get that sense as well. But let me ask you, because I was thinking about this, because this goes a lot with many of the shows that we talk about, the lack of pace that we've had over the years. You know, I've heard our co-host David Holley talk about pace over and over, and you two and me, we've all talked about it. Let me ask you, because, again, I was just thinking about, I know this is just one signing, but does this tell you, I think you already said it, but does this give you reason to be optimistic that we're going to find players that fit the way Jurcanovic wants to play, that this season, because I don't think they did it last season, they're actually bringing in players to fit a style?
Well, I mean, that's what's key for me, is this reeks of a, you know, be it a rig, be it Jurcanovic signing, be it a stats team signing, a scout who saw him, who knows, but it's it's the style that Jokanović plays. That's where this bloke fits in. And although it's not down on the agenda to talk about, there was the West London article by Paul Warburton where he says, you know, they want to bring in 10 players.
Right, I saw
and
that.
We've only, you saw that. And, you know, we've only brought in one, technically two if you count Medel. But maybe we're being picky because we don't seem to be linked with putting lots of bids in with loads of people. So maybe we're being a bit picky on making sure we get the right players. Maybe a bit too picky, and we'll talk about that later. But it does give me hope that we're specifically targeting certain players for certain positions. We're a little bit behind the curve on actually bringing them in. But he's exactly what we need for that sort of forward position.
I totally agree. And that's what, you know, again, when I really spent some time looking at this, Mike, I thought, okay, as a second signing, we'll call Maddle the first one, this is a significant move. And gives me hope that we're going to find other players like that. If you find other players, like you said, that complement what this player can potentially do, maybe we're in business here. It's only one signing, but like you mentioned with the Paul Warburton article, they're probably looking for 10. So we have a ways to go. But let's move on. Let's talk about this other article that it's a little dated, but not really. It's only from February 5th. It's from this website called Intact Tactic. And I found what this person shared very interesting as well. So I'm going to share this with you, a little synopsis on Floyd Ayite. And let's just start with, again, this is from February. The transfer market value, I believe, was 1.88 million euros. So keep that in mind. That was his value from transfer market. It also says predicted level, bottom half of Premier League team, talking about the Barclays Premier League. So, again, keep this in mind. This article is from February, and I'm just going to read from it. Currently sitting top of both the goals and assists tables for Bastia, Ayite has impressed from a very structured side. Often the outball on the wing, his awareness of space and movement in behind defenses has been crucial this season. His composure around the opposition box has seen him either score or assist of 7 of Bastia's 15 open play goals. With a 12.5 conversion inside the box so far in 2015-2016 and an average of 11.8% over the last three seasons, he seems to have a decent degree of consistency, though his actual finishing could be better. He's also getting into those scoring positions more this season, too, despite the rest of Bastia team failing to negative 1.3 box shots per 90 minutes is his best so far, and there has been a steady rise in each of the last four seasons. This is also the most of any Bastia player to start more than 6 games. Comfortable on either foot and on either wing, Ayite is a very adaptable player with decent dribbling and a lot of pace. At previous clubs, he was seen as more of an old-fashioned winger and looked to get crosses in, averaging about 1.1 cross key passes per 90. Putting that into context, if he did that season, he'd be 7th in the league for crossed key passes per 90. Since joining Bastia, he's been more of a modern winger, looking to make runs in behind defenses from wide. Overall, Floyd Ayite is a tricky player who could offer direct threat while being picked up for very little money. While he isn't a world beater, he could have a fair impact at a few Premier League sides. At 27, he's a good age to get his big move to a lesser Premier level side, and if he does, I'm quietly confident he'll show good value for the money. Okay, Mike, again, that was from the website Intactic. Some very interesting thoughts there. What do you make of what I just shared?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last paragraph I like. You know, when people write assessments, you want them to be honest. And he said, you know, he'd offer a direct threat, which is what we need. You know we're not direct enough, we're not quick enough. And also that he isn't a world beater, so he's being honest there. So I think we're getting, you know, an above average direct winger. And the way he says modern winger about looking to make runs in behind. The old days of winger getting to the byline, getting the cross in, that's not what you see now. It's players trying to get behind defences onto balls being played either over the top or through the defence. And again, looking at a couple of his videos, that's what he does. And, you know, he's also, you know, looks quite tricky as well. So, you know, I thought it was an interesting little article. It's, you know, again, very stat heavy, but you've got to look at it in context. And, you know, he's a busy player. And whether he's their star player, I'm not sure. But, you know, he certainly seems to have been up there, you know. So it's all positive, you know, and we've got to hope that we can bring in a couple of more players at least, you know, this week, and get them ready, you know, if not to play in Ireland, then certainly fit in with the team and then go to Portugal with them. But, yeah, again, a good article. I've not read anything too negative about this lad.
Neither have I. That's what I find fascinating. I usually read something, Mike, that's sobering, that has the other side, the downside. You know, the only thing that I saw downside was who scored talking about finishing, and I can understand that. But then we read an article that basically stated that maybe that was a little harsh, you know. So who knows? I guess we'll find out when he plays for Fulham. But based on what I've been reading and what I've been watching, I'm a little bit encouraged, but only time will tell. Before we move on, I want to share one other thing with you. I want to talk about one thing that I found interesting. It was from the article about him. It actually mentioned, Mike, that Ayite had talked to Seiko Fofana, who he played with at Bastia last year. What are your thoughts about Seiko Fofana possibly having a role in getting this player to come here?
Well, you got to say thank you to him. And, you know, Fofana, he wasn't everyone's cup of tea when he was at the club, but I always liked him. I always thought he gave us something different. And, you know, it's good when, you know, he's an ex-player, but he was a player on loan, is willing to recommend, you know, yeah, go to that club, go to England, go to Fulham, it's a good club. Better than, you know, saying, no, you know, don't go there, they're an absolute nightmare. You know, Fulham get a bad rep. Well, Fulham get a bad rep. We all say, it's, you know, things are broken there, and you know, it's not a happy camp, or it's not run well. But the fact is, you know, he's been recommended by a player who's on loan who didn't have a, you know, he had some harsh critics in the crowd, but he got on with his job, and you know, he obviously left the club very happy with Fulham. You then also, you know, Jose Mourinho, his son, signed in scholar terms. Now, whether his son is any good or not, it doesn't really matter. You have possibly the number one, number two manager in the world. well, you could argue, whatever, anyway. He's certainly at the top there. And, you know, he's allowing his son to go into our youth, into our club at training ground, you know, youth training ground level. If he didn't think it was a well-run club, do you think he would send his son there? No, of course he wouldn't. He'd send him to another club or, you know, whatever. He wouldn't send it to one that's in disarray. So, you know, there's lots of good things that they do at Fulham. And, you know, for Fofana to say, yeah, go, you know, go, that is really good. You know, it shows we are doing some things right at the club.
I agree, Mike. And just so you know, I wasn't laughing at you or Mourinho. I was laughing because I was thinking the same exact thing that you were saying while you were talking about Mourinho's son. It's significant. It is significant that Mourinho wants his son to play at Fulham, and that his son is actually playing at Fulham, and seems, based on his smile, he looks like he's happy to be there. So, you know, I guess you'd have to ask him in person, but I think it's significant that you have someone like Seiko Fofana recommending Fulham, and like you mentioned, glad that you brought this up, Jose Mourinho's son signing with Fulham. I think that's significant. And, you know, not everything is as bad as sometimes I hear it to be, because obviously some people are having a positive experience. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's now talk about a couple players that have left. This one's going to be interesting. We've been talking about this player for a long time, Mike. Now it's finally happened. Let's talk about Martin Stuckenberg leaving Fulham for Everton to be reunited with Ronald Koeman. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, the only thing I'm disappointed about is I never got a chance to drive him there, really, and say goodbye and throw his boots onto the ground outside Goodison Park. This signing was a mistake from day one. He was a player who had a bad injury record. We spent £4 million or whatever it was buying him. It was just because Joel was Dutch and he was Dutch. We had a ready-made goalkeeper already in Stockdale. He should have gone straight in as number one. And it was money we should have spent elsewhere in that dreadful summer of transfers. And the fact that he got injured in, like, what was it, the first game, second game, glass shoulder. And he was never happy. And I saw him at the training ground, admittedly under McGaff, where a lot of people weren't happy. But the fact was he was a miserable sod that day. And from what I can gather, he was never happy at the club and probably saw us, looking down on us, they were beneath us kind of attitude. And the fact that we've loaned him out twice and he's played limited games, he had a good run in Southampton, but as soon as their number one keeper was fit, he was out again. So, yes, he was a good goalkeeper. Yes, World Cup and all that. But absolute disastrous signing for Fulham in so many ways. And thank God he's off the books now.
Mike, I totally agree. And for whatever reason, like you said, they decided to sign him. It was probably, like you mentioned, the influence from Joel. It never worked out. And for me, Mike, I think the problem that I had is that I kept comparing him against someone like Mark Schwarzer. And Mark Schwarzer and... was a goalkeeper that I thought was obviously excellent for Fulham and did it the way that I appreciate the art of goalkeeping. I think he does an exceptional job in talking about Schwarzer. And I could just tell right off the bat that this was a goalkeeper with a different style and it never worked for me. So Mike, was it also part of a style thing like it is with me that he didn't command his box like Mark Schwarzer? Am I being unfair there, or am I being justified?
He was a good goalkeeper, but he was just, from the day he joined us, and when he got that injury, he was never the same, never happy. And, I think it's a modern thing about goalkeepers as well. I mean, we hark on about Schwarzer and controlling his box, but I've been watching the Euros. There's not that many goalkeepers who are playing the way we really want, which is goalkeepers come out and control it. The top ones are, obviously, but the vast majority are pretty much all the same. Good shot stoppers, that type of thing. But it was just a bad move all round, Russ. He was, never took to him at all, and he never took to us. And, we move on, and it's another transfer where we've spent a lot of money and... And we've lost on it, let's be honest.
Yep.
And it was a... I just look back on that summer of 2013 and, McIntosh would have signed this one off. And I've always seen it as a massive mistake at the time. Not in retrospect at all, because I said it at the time, we didn't need him. I go back and it's £5-6 million, including wages, for that season we could have spent on two defenders at least, probably.
No, very, very good points there, Mike. And boy, that was just a tough summer that you're talking about, and he was a part of it. It was money not spent well, unfortunately, and we've run into a good amount of that lately. And that was one bad summer, and Martin Stecklenburg was a part of that. All right, let's move on. I'm really curious your thoughts about this. And before I really get into this with talking about Ben Pringle leaving for Preston North, and I just want to share my thoughts a little bit about this. I'm actually disappointed this didn't work out because Ben Pringle is a player, Mike, that I wanted to come to the club. I did. I wanted him to come. I thought he was going to be a good fit. But maybe this goes back to buying a player and not putting him in the proper position to succeed. Playing to his strengths, because I can tell you this, I've seen several supporters of Preston North End. They're very excited to have Ben Pringle. I don't know, I don't think that he's a bad player. This is just my feelings of watching him play with Rotherham and also a little bit with us, but I don't think he's a bad player. I think maybe, just maybe, we used him incorrectly, but you also have to put it on Pringle as well. So I want to get your overall thoughts about Ben Pringle moving to Preston North End.
I'm a little bit disappointed because, you know, I was happy when he signed, you know, for a free transfer, a player who was, you know, he played well twice against us in the previous season and, you know, had a good left foot. The problem we had, and I remember us talking about it early on in the season, Russ, is I think everyone wanted a left winger, a proper old-fashioned left winger, and a lot of people who vaguely remembered Pringle or didn't at all thought that we were getting that. And for those of us who remember who he was, he's a left-sided midfielder. He's not going to take players on. He's got a nice left foot, a nice delivery. But the way we set up with him as a, you know, wide on a four wasn't best suited to him. And I think defensively he was lacking. At times, there were a few games where he certainly could have done better there. And unfortunately, his delivery, and I don't know what it is. I think players walk into Motspur Park and they park their some of their skills. And one of his skills was to be able to cross the ball from a corner. And he failed to do that. You know, we coached that out of him very early on. And, you know, it happens so often. But I still saw at times that left foot deliver a good ball. And, you know, I was disappointed it didn't work out for him. And, you know, and then he was shipped out on loan and started well at Ipswich. You know, everyone bangs on, oh, yeah, he scored goals. He was in their team. Well, he scored a couple of goals in the first four or five games. But after about six or seven, he was on the subs bench and hardly got a kick. So, again, it didn't quite work out for him there. I wonder if it was all the sort of, you know, in Rotherham he was a, you know, the star player, the big fish in the small pond, and you know, is up north, and you know, not so much pressure. Then he gets, you know, okay, it was a free transfer, but you know, come down to London, it's a big move. We are a, you know, big name club in that sense. You know, we've only, you know, 1 year in the Championship, and suddenly he's not the star player, and he has to, you know, earn his Spurs again and, you know, prove what a good player he is. And it didn't quite work out for him. So maybe it was a case of, you know, the bright lights didn't work out. And it's interesting that he's, you know, he's moved back up north, where he'd be, you know, out in the limelight a little bit more. And I don't know if that's where his family is, but, you know, it's back to his stomping ground, really. And, you know, I wish him well, and I've, you know, when you consider it was a free transfer, half a season of wages not paid. Preston had probably given us a few £100,000 for him. I doubt it'd be much more than that. And, you know, I wish him well. But it's interesting that we've got such a small squad and we've all been saying, oh, we have to get rid of this player, that player's going to go. While we had and still have a small squad, I would have been tempted to keep Pringle, but it's absolutely clear then that be it Jokanović or someone at the club has said, no, it's fine, he's not in my plans, he can move on. We don't need him even on the numbers side of the process, because our squad is very, very small. And you know, He was disappointing last year. He still had a year on his contract. So, you know, part of me felt, you know, keep him as a squad member. But they obviously made the decision, and which makes me think it's more of a personal issue where he's not happy and they've just decided to cash in and, you know, let him go back up north.
You know, Mike, something that you mentioned, I also saw this on Twitter as well, talking about London. Maybe London wasn't a good fit for him. You could be on to something. You know, I've seen that happen to players here with the sports teams locally. You know, some can't handle playing in Boston. And I'm sure that happens all over the world. And in London, maybe it's the same thing. So that could be a factor. I just want to end by saying that I do wish him the best. I do, you know, because I thought he would be a good fit for us, but obviously, it did not work. But, Mike, you brought up a good point. That's going to lead me talk about something in just a second, because we do have a small squad, but I think that we're not done getting rid of players. I think you're going to see other players leave. I think Jokanović is kind of cleaning a house. Players like Bodarov and maybe a few others could be leaving. What are your thoughts about that before we talk about another topic?
Well, I mean, I go back to what I just said, though. You know, the squad is short of players, and, you know, he was an experienced player in the championship. And if we continue to, you know, leak players, if you like, without replacing them, then we're going to end up with a young team. And listeners to Cottage Talk know I'm a fan of the youngsters and are willing to give them a chance. But the youngsters coming through are not the class of 2014, who should have been handled better. These are a different bunch of lads, and I don't think some of them are quite ready. So as much as I would like to see Bodarov move on, at the moment I would possibly put a freeze on letting players go, because I am worried about the size of the squad. And as much as I like Aaron Davis and Jack Grimmer, you know, all these players could be required in the next, you know, in 4 weeks when the season starts. And it is only 4 weeks away.
I know.
So,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, get some more players in, then let some of these guys go, some of the surplus ones who we know are not going to be any good. But you also have to be, you know, realistic, look at your size and squad and say, no, we've got to, this is it. We've got 50 players. We need to stick with what we've got at the moment. Otherwise, you are going to have 17, 18-year-olds in the 18-man squad. And, you know, like I say, I'm concerned they're not quite ready. They're not like the Roberts, Dembele and Heidman class yet. So it would definitely be, for me, a year, 2 years too early for some of these lads to get involved.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. And that's going to lead me to talk about the youngsters, because the club actually released a video today from Ireland. That was an interview with Teo Idun and Stephen Humphreys. So that led one of our Twitter followers to tweet to both of us. So I'm going to read the tweet, and then I want to get your thoughts on this, Mike, because he has a very interesting question. Curious how many youngsters are training with the first team? Just Teo and Humphreys? Mike, who else is training with the first team in Ireland that you know of?
Well, I know Ryan Sessegnon is over there, and Magnus Norman and Dennis Adrian is out there. If those guys are there, I suspect Josh Smile is as well, and maybe Shackelford. Not sure about Walker, whether he would have gone, but they're the kind of guys I would expect. You know, and that's what you need, because realistically, if you do look at the squad, if you're looking to go on tour, you know, and you're going to be playing practice matches, you're going to want to be taking 20, 25 players out there. And that's the kind of numbers we're in, and that's why those youngsters are out there. Humphreys, you know, when we did the youth show earlier in the year, you know, both me and Frankie say Humphreys is potentially a very good player. He had a very good season. Deserves to be there or thereabouts training with the first team. Is he ready to be in any kind of team at the moment? I'm not so sure. I'm really not sure about that. But the fact is, we've only got, unless you count Floyd as a striker, you know, we've only got McCormack, Smith and Woodrow, plus Floyd, and then Humphreys is next in line. So he needs to be around there. Taylor Uden, you know, has been playing for England, England teams, and is highly rated and doing well. Sessegnon, we know, is potentially a good player, but he's 16. And that would be a big gamble to look at him playing as a left-back. Magnus Norman, again, listeners will know I rate that guy really highly, and I wouldn't have any problems if he actually went in goal for any first team game. I rate him that much. Adrian is 17, and he has pace and strength, and energy, which is what we need. So, you know, like I say, these guys are 16, 17, 18, and with no loan experience either. And, you know, to jump straight from maybe even the under-18s straight into the first team is too much of a jump, and we've seen that. So I'm becoming a bit more protective of the youngsters, Russ, as you can probably tell. And
yes.
I'm a bit, you know, given, and it's this is, and I'm going to have a go at some of the fans here. In at Craven Cottage, the abuse thrown at some of these youngsters over the last couple of years, who they expect to be ready-made at 18, 19. You know, even Dembele, you know, 17 goals last season, not good enough, not good enough. Abusing him all the time. Whether you thought he was lazy or not, he delivered with 17 goals. And then you see other youngsters as well just getting abuse. And it's just, so I'm going to, you know, I'm becoming very protective of these guys. They are good players, don't get me wrong. But we want a challenge for promotion. And these guys, these young lads, they're not ready quite yet to be in a Fulham team pushing for promotion. So it's good that they're out there training with the first team, because I like the fact that the first teams and under-21s mixed together. I would hate to see a setup where they're in their regimented groups and it's very difficult to break into the first team or step up. And it's going to be a good experience for them. More importantly, it gives Jokanović a chance to look at these guys. And some of them are approaching their 18th birthday. And we all know the problems we've had with youngsters getting them to sign contracts. While they're training with the first team, they're 18. They're going to be in a good mindset. So slap the contract in front of them and get them to sign it. You know, so it's all a bit of mind games as well with these lads. But they're there because numbers-wise, they're needed as well.
No, very good point, Mike. But listening to what you shared, it sounds like to me you have a similar thought as I. I see this situation right now, training with the first team, as a wonderful experience, and obviously they also need the numbers. My hope is that they learn from the older players and that they take this as a learning experience and not thrown into a situation that they're not ready for. Training with them is one thing. Throwing them into a championship match is a completely different kettle of fish. So
yeah,
I'm fine with them training with them. I think it's beneficial. Like you said, the reasons of the contract also, I totally agree, Mike. But I do hope, and we're going to end the show talking about player in and no other players in lately, they need the numbers to come up. They need to bring players in, and if they're being picky, if they're looking for the right players, so be it. But I think it would be a huge mistake to throw some of these players into the mix when they're probably not ready, Mike.
Well, I mean, I've just looked on the spreadsheet I do of all the players, and I've just done a quick count up, and we have 21 players who are 21 or older. Now, that's not a lot, you know. Two of those are goalkeepers, and you know, four of them are strikers, and then you start looking, you know, we've got a good number of defenders, but then we've also only got two players over, well, three players who are 30 or over, and one of those is Bodroff, the other is Amberetta, and then you've got Parker. So, you know, you start realising that the squad overall is very young, and, you know, it's not, it doesn't have the experience required to be challenging anywhere near the top eight kind of area. So, that's, like I say, that's why those guys are out there, because we need them out there training. If you want to put two teams together, 11 versus 11 and a couple of subs,
right,
you're going to need these guys.
And it's great experience. It really is. It's a wonderful experience for them. And I want to give credit to Humphreys and Adun, because on this video they really came over very, very nicely. They look confident young players, and I wish them the best along with all those other young players over there. You know, I think this is a great learning experience for them, but we need experienced players to come in and then let these young players get the experience that they need. And then we could talk about this down the road, just not now. That they're there I just see that as a learning experience. All right, Mike, before we end the show with one final topic, should we do our Ross McCormack transfer speculation update? Because I've had fans say that, you know, joke about, because we talk about this every week. Should we even discuss it? Because, again, there was some news again, but it's going to happen each and every week, Mike.
Well, I've been away for a few days. I was in Ireland. So, I mean, we had this sort of, is it a £15 million one? Is that what we're talking about now?
Yes.
Is that what
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so are we going to sell him for £15 million? It's a really interesting discussion point. And we spoke about a couple of the articles last week. And, you know, I've made it clear, if someone comes along with £15 million, then I think you need to take that kind of money and reinvest it elsewhere in the team. People will then throw things at me. Who's going to score the goals? Who's going to assist? Well, other people will. That's just the way it is. And, you know, there was something about a clause which ran out at the end of last month. I read that in one paper.
I did too.
Which I found that was a bit of an odd one. But I haven't seen anything, certainly today, while I've briefly looked at things. But again, he's going to continue to be linked. I think what we need to see is what the other teams are doing, who they're buying. And once they buy a striker or two, you can almost sort of tick them off the list and say, right, they're not going to be ringing us up for Ross, are they? So
sure.
The teams that are going to buy him, you know, it was going to be Newcastle, Villa, Norwich. They're the guys in the Championship. I see Sheffield Wednesday. It's a lot of money for them if they wanted him. And then you look at the teams who maybe went up. Would they be interested in McCormack? So I think we're looking at half a dozen, maybe eight teams who would really be in the market for him. And, you know, we just have to see how this continues to play out. It's the same thing as last week, Russ. You know, today's the 5th. Our season starts on the 5th next month. You know, if he's going to move earlier, because we need to use that money. If that money's no good on the 31st of August, we need it. If we're going to use it now.
Right.
Which I suppose takes us into the last subject, which is what we discussed last week. Which is
absolutely, Mike.
That's
how we're going to end the show, my friend. I want to get your thoughts, because we talked about this. How would we feel a week later? You know, would you be worried a week later? Well, we've had one signing, Mike. We've had two players leave. So before I share my thoughts, what are your thoughts? How do you feel a week later?
Okay, so if I was a stock market, I'd be down, because we have only bought in one player. We're in Ireland. I'm hoping we see, you know, some of the trialist brothers playing at Cork. We all know when the photos go up from Fulham on tour that everyone scours and going, who's that? Who's that player? Who's that player? I've not seen anyone say they've not recognised anyone yet. We need to get in some players, and they need to come in quickly. We can keep pushing it back a week, another week. And before we know it, it's going to be the Monday before the Newcastle game, and we've only brought in, you know, maybe three or four players. And you start looking at the 11s that a few of us keep putting up, and there's not much difference to what we had last year. So, we need come back to me in a week, Russ. And if we haven't got two or three players, I will be very, very worried, because
okay,
the
now
squad isn't strong in it.
No, listen, I totally agree with you. Now, I'm not going to name any names. Because I don't want to create any transfer speculation. Listen, I've had people tell me things. I'm sure people have told you things. All I'm going to say is that I've heard some names. And the names that I've heard of players that I actually believe would fit the style of Jokanović, but they haven't been signed yet. We'll just leave it at that. That's why I'm not throwing anything on this show of a player. You know, I'm not going to say that. All I'm saying is, the reason why I'm not panicking yet, Mike, is that I think some of what I'm hearing could potentially be true of players that we're talking to. And if some of them come through, I will be very happy. But again, it's just speculation. So I'm going to, like you, I'm going to wait another week, because the names I've been hearing, I guess you could say they encourage me. But again, I don't know if, you know, I don't know how far along they are, and again, it's just speculation. I don't know if they're true, if it's just rumor. So, you know, you never know with these situations. But all I'm going to say is that
Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russ. The absolute minimum we need between now and Newcastle game, which is what we need to aim for, because you do have another month, I know, but you know, before the start of the season, it needs to be at least a player a week between now and the Newcastle game. And they need to be first-team players, and they need to be the kind of starters. You know, whatever you think about players like Stearman, Ream, you know, even Richards and all that, we all know they can do a job. They can all be on a winning side. But to make a difference to the team that we had last year, it's a player a week. We've done it this week, or the, you know, the end of last week with Floyd. We need someone this week. We need someone next week. So if they can continue to do that before the end of August, bring in these 10 players, one a week, if you like, then fine. But they need to keep doing that. That conveyor belt needs to keep delivering one player a week at least. So, we have to wait and see. But, you know, I saw someone online say that I mentioned last week that I knew the club were working on it. And we all know that. You know, they're not stupid at the club. They need to bring players in. And
yeah, of course.
The ones who are criticising the club and, they're not doing anything, that's just not true. We know that's not true. You have belief in the abilities of the people doing the work, that's something else. But, you know, don't think that they're sitting there with, you know, on their arses doing nothing. They are trying to get the players in. But as I said earlier, I think they're being quite picky in the type of players they want. They don't want to fill the team up again with a bunch of, you know, slow, plodding midfielders. We all know the way Jokanović wants to play. We want to play fast, attacking, direct, quick football. And some of those players who left couldn't deliver that, so we need to bring new ones in.
Right, Mike. And again, listen, I'm not trying to tease fans, but by not sharing the names I'm hearing, it's just talk, and I'd rather not mention any names. All I'm saying is that the type of players that I've been hearing from several sources are along the lines of what Jokanović is looking for. That's why I do give some credence to it. I don't know how serious it is, but again, they all fit a certain type of player, and it all screams Jokanović. That's why I do think there might be something to it, but only time will tell, Mike. But you bring up a great point. If we bring in a player a week, we should be fine. So how about you and I end the show by making a deal? If we get a player this week, and if we do another show, say, next week, we're up to three. I think we're okay. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah. Check back next week. I mean, you've got to hope that we get some. There's a lot of movement in the Championship at the moment. It's all beginning to snowball, and like a lot of these transfers, it's one player, one big move, gets lots of other little moves going. So you know, maybe that's what we're waiting for in a couple of the transfers. So let's hope this time next week, Russ, sometime next week when we talk, we will we'll have a couple of new names to discuss, and we'll be a bit more positive.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope so, my friend. You know, I got to be honest before we end the show. I just want to say I'm encouraged by the signing, but I've been encouraged by other signings, and they haven't really panned out. I hope Floyd Ayite does pan out, and I hope I'm saying his last name right. But he's just one, and let's just hope we have more to come. All right, my friend, let's end the show. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, just enjoy the rest of your birthday, Russ. And as always, on Cottage Talk, if there are any developments, any new players coming, I'm sure we'll be bringing a show back to you.
Absolutely, Mike, absolutely. And listen, I'm glad that you had such a wonderful time in Ireland. And before I go, I just want to say thank you to all the Fulham supporters already that have wished me a very happy birthday. Mike, I'll leave you with this. I had lunch with my wife before we did this show, and she was very impressed by the Fulham supporters sending me pictures of Fulham cakes. She wished that she had done that for me.
Well, it's a good job I didn't send you any pictures because my baking skills are leave a lot to be desired.
All right, my friend. I think it's time to wrap up with this show. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike. Have a great night.
And do you, Russ. Cheers.
Boys and girls.